You guys, we're doing another movie review. And guess what? We're doing some more Italian horror. Now, this is kind of a strange one, but I've been wanting to talk about this one for a while, and I promise I will get around to doing more straight up giallo movies and more of Dario Argento's kind of better known or better regarded movies, other than the ones we've already done on Movie Retrospective. Obviously, I'm not going to do those over again, but there's still a lot more I want to do. But this one, I don't know. This one is like, it came out in 1985, pretty much right in between. Like, he had done Tenebrae, and then he was doing the producing and co-writing on Demons 1 and 2. And then this came out, and then after this was Opera. Now, this movie, I don't think it's like the worst reviewed of Dario Argento's movies, but it's for sure one that's not very well regarded. And it's one that not a lot of people have seen, I feel like. Even people that are kind of into Dario Argento. I mean, it's not one of the first ones that you go to. But for whatever reason, I saw this one a long time ago, and I don't know. I just have like kind of an affection for it, I suppose, just because it's so 80s. And it is batshit insane. I mean, just as I describe what happens, if you haven't seen this movie, as I describe what's happening in it, I think that you'll probably think that I'm making it up, but I assure you that I'm not making it up because this movie is just that insane. I mean, but in a good way. It's super entertaining. I wouldn't call it necessarily a good movie, but it's for sure entertaining. So I guess that makes it good, like in a way. So this movie is called Phenomena. Now, it was originally released in Italy, and its original release was 116 minutes long. When it was released in other territories, like later on, I think the most common version around the world, I think they took like 5 minutes out. So it's like 110 minutes. That's called the integral cut or whatever it's called. But what they did was when they released it in theaters in the US, and I'm pretty sure that this was the last Dario Argento movie that got any kind of I don't even know if it was a wide release, but it got like a limited release in American theaters. And I've heard of a couple people that actually did see it in the theater back in 1985. But when they released it in the US in theaters, they cut like more than 20 minutes out of it. So they cut it down to 83 minutes. And retitled it Creepers. They took out pretty much all the gore shit. They took out a whole bunch of stuff. And they even like rearranged some scenes and shit like that. I've seen both cuts, but I haven't seen the Creepers cut for a really long time. So I can't really speak to, I don't really remember like what was taken out. I know most of the real over-the-top gore was taken out because this is a pretty gory movie. Like a lot of, like most Dario Argento movies are. The thing about this one is, I feel like you could totally call this a giallo movie because it does have a serial killer that's going around picking off people one by one. So it does have that. And the killer is kind of has a weird weapon, and I think they even wear black gloves and a hat and stuff like that at one point. So it has that aspect to it. But then he's also trying to meld it with a supernatural thriller type of thing. And this is one of those movies where it seemed like he just wanted to throw everything at the wall and see if it stuck. And like I said, I think that's kind of what makes it so batshit, but also what makes it so entertaining because, okay, so having a giallo movie, with the killer with this kind of like long spear thing that they kind of screw together. Like every time, it's almost like a tripod type of thing. I don't know, except it's like a spear on the end. So having a giallo movie is just cool enough on its own. But then you have an aspect of a girl that has a psychic connection to insects and can like control them. So you have that kind of shit going on. Oh, and also she sleepwalks. And you also have Donald Pleasance playing an entomologist in a wheelchair who has a helper chimpanzee named Inga. So any one of those three things would like be a cool movie on its own, but no, this movie has all of those things like going on. There's a lot going on in this movie. Also, there's just a bunch of other crazy shit. And it's just like I said, describing it, you're probably gonna think I'm like high or I'm making it up, but I swear to God, I'm not. I will say too that this was a very early role for Jennifer Connelly. This was actually a year or two before she did Labyrinth. I think she was only 14 when she did this movie. She looks a little bit older than 14, but I'm pretty sure she was only 14 years old when she did this. Now, this movie, the setup of it is very, very Suspiria-like, right? Because you have Jennifer Connelly playing a character whose name is also Jennifer, as Jennifer Corvino is who she plays. And she's this student of, or she's a the daughter, rather, of this really famous actor. And she gets sent to a Swiss boarding school, like an all-girls school, right? Sound familiar? Yeah. And then when she gets there, like a lot of the staff are kind of assholes. They're not witches, obviously, like they were in Suspiria. But, you know, it's a similar kind of thing. And then, you know, there's a killer going around knocking off the students one by one. So the opening scene of this, so this actually was shot in Switzerland. So it doesn't look quite like, I mean, the cinematography in this is really nice, like, because it seemed like he was trying to open this his style up and do something a little bit different with it. So, like, the shots of, and I think this was the first movie that he used a Steadicam on as well. So he was, like, trying to experiment with different stuff. So just, like, kind of the shots of the Swiss countryside and stuff like that, really, really cool. And then intercut with, you know, it's very pastoral, and then intercut with these just really over the top, like gory murder set pieces, like, you know, mostly what he's known for. But these ones are pretty over the top, I gotta say, even for him. So in the first scene of the movie, you see this bus, and I guess there's like this girl who missed the bus and she's a tourist. I think she's supposed to be Dutch, even though she's actually played by Dario Argento's daughter, Fiore, who I think was also 14 at the time. So this girl, you know, she misses the bus and she's like, well, shit, now she doesn't know what to do. She's, you know, in a foreign country. So she kind of goes looking for a house, and unluckily for her, it turns out that the first house belongs to the murderer, who proceeds to chase her around and then cut her head off, and the head goes like flying over the, like out a window and over like over a waterfall or something. So I'm like, Dario's got some issues, because he does some really fucked up shit to his daughters in his movies. So, and Daria Nicolodi is in this too, who I believe was his wife or at least his girlfriend at the time, because like they were together for quite a while. And I think they broke up not too long after this movie for whatever reason. I think some of it had to do with, I think he was going to cast somebody else in the role that she played, and she got mad, and I don't know. I'm sure that wasn't the only thing. I'm sure there was a lot of other shit going on, but they broke up not too long after this movie came out. But she is in this and she's great. And she's like a bad guy. She's always good when she's a bad guy. So after that first scene, after that first murder, like the opening scene, then you're introduced to the Jennifer character. And she's coming to this Swiss boarding school. Her dad's super famous, so everyone's like kind of all excited. But see, he's not a real celebrity or anything. He's just like one they made up for the movie. And she gets put in a room with this roommate Sophie, who is like has a big crush on her dad, so it's a little weird. So Jennifer also sleepwalks, as I said. Now she's like sleepwalking one night, and she's walking around on the roof, I think, of the school, and she happens to walk by a window of another student, and this other student is brutally, horribly murdered by the killer that's running around. And Jennifer sees it, falls off the roof, and then she's not hurt or anything, but then she's like running away through the woods and is saved by an errant chimpanzee. There's a chimpanzee in the woods named Inga. And Inga says, Inga doesn't say anything, obviously, because she's a chimpanzee. But she basically like, hey, come on, you know, I'll take you somewhere. So the chimpanzee takes Jennifer Connelly to this house, which belongs to Donald Pleasance. Dr. McGregor, I think is his name. He's being Scottish, and I love Donald Pleasance, but the Scottish accent is a little kind of on again, off again. I don't really know why his character in particular had to be Scottish. I don't know why he couldn't just use his regular voice, but whatever. Because, I mean, you know, Jennifer Connelly's American and she was playing an American, so I don't really get why they couldn't just let him. Maybe he wanted to do it. He's like, I always want to try my Scottish accent out, Dario. Let me do it. And he's just like, yeah, whatever. But I don't know. I don't know. Maybe that's not what happened. But so it happens that Donald Pleasance's character, Dr. McGregor, is an entomologist. And he has been investigating these murders of these girls that have been going on in this town or whatever. And his thing is, you know, forensic entomology type of thing. Was like that, you know, you can tell how long a body's been there by what kind of bugs and blah, blah, blah. And fun fact, this is actually hearing about a case where they used insects to solve a murder or like figure out how long a body had been there, something like that. Hearing about a case like that was what gave Dario the idea for this movie initially. So Jennifer Connelly and, you know, Dr. Loomis, Dr. McGregor, Dr. Loomis, whatever, they're like hanging out in the house, and he notes that all of the insects act really weird when she's around, and he's like, hey, you know, insects kind of have something like telepathy or like a psychic ability, which, sure, okay. And he's like, hey, maybe you have that too, like maybe you can like control insects or whatnot. Because they all seem to like chill out around you. And I think there's a really weird moment where she has like some kind of, I think it's a firefly or something like that, like some kind of insect, and she's letting it crawl on her hand. And he's like, yeah, he says something like the bug is trying to arouse you or you're arousing the bug or something like that. It's like super weird. So I guess the bug is just like has a crush on Jennifer Connelly. Don't we all? I mean, she's adorable. And she actually really was adorable in this movie. And like I said, this was only like a year or two before she did Labyrinth. I think that this might have been only her second movie. I think she'd done a movie prior to this, but this might have only been her second one. And I think that seeing this movie maybe led to her getting Labyrinth. I'm not really sure if that's the case or not, but it wasn't a long time like in between. So as it happens, so like I said, she keeps sleepwalking. All the other girls at school are bitches and make fun of her about it because they think she's a weirdo with all her sleepwalking. And oh, she thinks she's so great because her dad's a big famous actor and all this other kind of shit. Like I said, it's very much like Suspiria, like the backbiting and shit like that with all the dancers, except these kids are younger. So she's sleepwalking one night and her roommate ends up getting murdered as well because she stupidly decides to go out in the middle of, like sneak out of the school in the middle of the night, like to see her boyfriend, even though there's clearly a serial killer running around, but whatever. So she goes out and she gets murdered by the, you know, the screw together spear thingy, whatever it is. Then when Jennifer is out sleepwalking, a firefly leads her to a glove that has a bunch of maggots on it. And she takes the glove to Dr. McGregor. And he's like, well, whoever the killer is, if this glove belongs to the killer, which he presumes that it does, he's like, this means that the killer is like keeping all the bodies around, you know? And so maybe like all their shit's like covered with maggots in the house, which, you know, that'll be nice. So meanwhile, so they're trying to kind of solve that mystery. I forgot to mention too that I guess Dr. McGregor was working on this case, and you know, the beginning part, like where Fiore Argento got killed and her head like got cut off and thrown over the waterfall. Well, Donald Pleasance still has that head and has it like in a glass box. And he's showing it to a couple investigators, one of whom is played by Michele Soavi, I noticed. I was like, because I kind of yelled when I saw him, I forgot he was in it. So while all the serial killing and the investigating and whatnot is going on, Jennifer is also having some problems at the school, not only with the other girls being bitchy, but also the staff, particularly Frau Bruckner, who is played by Daria Nicolodi, thinking there's something the matter with her. So they take her to like a hospital and give her like an EKG. They think that, you know, maybe she's not possessed, but maybe they think that she has, you know, because she sleepwalks, it's like maybe she has like multiple personality disorder. I don't know. They're like jumping to fucking conclusions. And at one point they even, when she's out, they even like break into her. Well, they don't break into the room, but they go into her room and like read her diary and stuff. In her diary, she was like writing a letter to her dad or something. And she says, hey, turns out I can psychically communicate with bugs, so that's nice. She didn't say that exactly, but that was the gist of it. And so of course they all started making fun of her because of that. But shortly after that happens, she basically goes out in the hall and like is like woo and like all these magic powers and like brings all these fucking flies like all around the building, and they're just like, oh, okay, I guess she can really do that. But they're still going to be mean to her because now they think she's like demonic. She's like demonically possessed and they want her out of the school and all this other kind of shit. So as the shit goes on, what McGregor proposes is that since Jennifer has a psychic link with bugs of all types, that she should, in theory, be able to find out who the murderer is. Because like I said, since the murderer is keeping the bodies in the house for whatever reason, because he likes having them around, I suppose. So he's like, well, tell you what, I'm going to give you this box that has a great sarcophagus fly in it, which is a fly that exclusively feeds on human bodies. And you just take it with you on the bus because, you know, and it'll be able to smell where the bodies are and you'll be able to find the house. So he's like sending her out to sort of be a detective and find out who this killer is. Now, she does end up finding the house. Some bad shit ensues. And then, sadly, I had forgotten this too, because I saw this movie, but I saw it like a really long time ago. And I forgot, spoiler alert, that Donald Pleasance gets killed by the murderer. What ends up happening is that Inga, who is his helper ape, the helper chimpanzee, is outside flying a kite, because that's something that chimpanzees do. And the kite got stuck in the tree and like it's trying to get it out and all that stuff. And then like the killer came and locked the chimp out so the chimp wouldn't be able to help him, and then stabbed him in the stomach. So there's actually one scene where Inga gets back inside and is like bummed out that like Donald Pleasance is dead, and it's like super, super sad. Like I'm sitting there watching, I'm like, oh my God, look at that fucking chimpanzee. It's so fucking sad. So what ends up happening is that Jennifer finds out who the killer is. Now, I will say I've seen this movie a couple times. I'm not super clear. Okay, well, I know that Daria Nicolodi's character, Frau Bruckner, I'm pretty sure like she's the killer, but also she has a deformed kid and his face is super, super fucked up. I mean, super fucked up. And the first time I saw this movie, I was like, ooh, like it fucking freaked me out. It's like fucking freaky looking. But I think maybe the kid was killing people too. I couldn't tell how old the kid was supposed to be, because I think the backstory was that Frau Bruckner she worked at a mental hospital, or she was in a mental hospital. I can't remember. But then she got like, I think she worked there, and then she got raped by a patient, like through the, like he pulled her through the bars, like up to the bars and raped her, and she got pregnant. And then the kid that she had looked like, I don't even fucking know what, like I can't even describe like the way the face looks. It's like super freaky. And so that made her want to kill people. And I guess also maybe the little kid kills people too, because I don't know. Okay. So there's a scene toward the end. What ends up happening is that Jennifer basically gets kidnapped by Frau Bruckner, and I think like she's locked in the house, and then she finds like one of the investigators, I think, is also locked in the house, like chained to the wall or some shit like that. And then Jennifer's trying to get out, and then she falls into this pit in the basement, which is like the grossest. It's like the pool in Poltergeist, except like many times grosser. It's basically like body soup. You know what I mean? Because that's something that you have in your house. I'm sure that doesn't smell bad at all. Yeah, so apparently in Frau Bruckner's house, in the basement, she has this big unfinished basement that has a pit in it that has all these dead bodies and all the, like, soup from all the dead bodies. And Jennifer Connelly falls in there, and it's pretty disgusting, I have to say. So there's that. She finally gets out. And then they're all, like, they're fighting and shit like that. And then she gets away. Like, she gets out of the house. And she runs out. There's like a motorboat. So she gets on the motorboat, and while she's getting in the motorboat, like going on the dock or whatever, like the little deformed kid comes running out and like jumps on the boat with her with the spear thing, like, you know, and he's trying to stab her and everything. And he stabs like the, there's a can of gasoline or some shit like that. And, so she like calls all the bugs, like calls all the flies or whatever, and then all the flies come and get all over the fucking kid, and he's like, bleh, and it like kills him, I don't know, somehow, and he falls in the water. And then because he poked the gasoline thing, like the boat blows up, and like Jennifer has to jump in. It's like fucking crazy. It is a fucking crazy last act. I mean, it's just all over the place. And then, as if it wasn't crazy enough, like, so the boat blows up, the kid is dead because the flies came and attacked him, and also kind of, I think he maybe caught on fire, I'm not really sure. But so she swims back to shore, and then, she gets to shore, and then it's not her dad, but it's like somebody that works for her dad, like, because I guess she called them earlier, like, hey, I gotta get the fuck out of here, like, somebody's trying to kill me or whatever, like, you know, from the school. So he's coming to get her, but anyway, so she's, like, running on the beach, and it's nighttime, and she's like, hey, what's your face? I can't remember what his name was. Dude that works for my dad. And you think, oh, she's saved, and then that's the end. But no, because then Frau Bruckner comes up behind that random guy and just like whisks his head right off, whoop, just like right in front of her. And she's just like, oh shit. And then Frau Bruckner tries to behead Jennifer with like a pane of glass or something. I don't know what it is. I saw one review that said it looked like a cookie sheet, which I guess, all right, whatever. But it doesn't work. But then Inga, the helper chimpanzee, saves the day by coming with a straight razor that she conveniently found in a garbage can, and basically straight razors the shit out of Dario Nicolodi's face. So like I said, not only does Dario Argento cut off his daughter's head and then have it sit in a tank at Donald Pleasance's house, but he also has a chimpanzee chop up the face of his wife with a straight razor. So, issues, I guess. I don't know. But like I said, this movie, I didn't even mention too, the score of it is really cool. It's Bill Wyman and Claudia Simonetti, right? Do the score. But then there's a bunch of like songs in it. And it's a little weird. It's a little jarring. Like, because sometimes there'll be scenes and it's like a murder or something. And then like Motorhead will start going, or Iron Maiden. He's like Flash of the Blade is in there. And I think Sex Gang Children, like Andy Sex Gang, did a song. I think he did three songs for it, but then I think they only used one in the movie. So some people have said, like, you know, the score is nice, but like all the heavy metal and shit in there, it's like doesn't really work. It's a little jarring, which, yeah, I can see that. It is a little strange, but I don't know. I kind of like it. Like I said, this movie is just so fucking weird that it's hard not to like it because it's just so bizarre and you just can't. You're just like looking at like, what the fuck am I watching at this moment? You know, why is Motorhead playing? What, you know, who even am I? It's that kind of thing. And it's just, I don't know. I just find that really enjoyable. So like I said, I have a lot of affection for this movie, even though it's just, it's batshit. It's a batshit insane movie. It's a batshit idea. And there's just like tons of shit going on in there. There's fucking Iron Maidens blaring. It's just, there's deformed kids. There's chimpanzees. There's just, it's fucking insane. Okay, it's just a fucking insane movie. But that said, obviously it's not one of Dario Argento's best movies, but it is still like wildly entertaining. And that's the kind of thing, it's like, it's never slow. It's never boring. There's always some crazy, interesting shit going on the screen, no matter what. So if you haven't seen it, I really do recommend it because it's not like a giallo. It's like a giallo, but not. And it's like a supernatural, psychic, you know, I can control animals kind of thriller type of thing. Also, pretty sure, because you know that movie Monkey Shines? Did George Romero direct that or produce it or something? I think that came out a couple years after this. And I think that he got the idea, maybe, allegedly, for the knife-wielding chimpanzee, maybe from this movie. I mean, I kind of feel like, because this came out a couple years before Monkey Shines came out in 88, I want to say, 87, 88, maybe later. But I think maybe that's where he got the idea from. So this is like some crazy shit. This is like Argento turned up to 11 with all of his weird proclivities on display. You know what I mean? And just giving no fucks at all. And I kind of like that about it. I want to do opera as well, because I really, really love opera. And a lot of people like thought, you know, that was one of his great movies. Because, you know, I feel like a lot of people have the perception that, you know, Tenebrae was his last great movie that he did. But he did opera in 1987. So maybe opera was the last great one. And then after that, it was kind of like, eh. But this one, even though it's not a great movie, it's still kind of fun just because of how fucking wacky it is. And like I said, it's super gory, you know, the heads with the maggots and all that kind of stuff. It's just the effects are like really, really effective. I mean, they're really nasty. There's like all like the bodysuit pool. It's just like all kind of like horrible stabbings. There's all kind of, you know, he loves like pushing people's heads through glass windows and shit like that. So there's all that kind of stuff. So it's real, real gory. But it also has kind of this weird pastoral, like a little bit of a, I don't want to say like a little fantasy element, little fairy tale type of element to it, because it kind of has that too. So it's really kind of a mixed bag. It's just like this really strange, like schizophrenic type of movie, like with this crazy soundtrack. But I don't know. Despite all that, I still kind of dig it. I wouldn't recommend watching Creepers because all the good shit has been cut out of it and it probably makes no sense. I kind of remember it making no sense. If you can find the 116 minute cut, then that would probably be the best. Although I don't think they took anything of any significance out. Mostly, I think the version that's on, I think it's on Shudder at the moment. It's on Tubi. It's on a bunch of streaming services at the moment. And I'm pretty sure that that's the 110 minute version. But like I said, I don't think that 5 minutes had anything that was all that exciting. I think it was mostly just trimming, you know, ends of beginnings and ends of scenes that were just like went on too long or whatever. So I don't think it's, they didn't take out any of the gore or anything like that. But Creepers, I'm pretty sure they took out all the best shit, like all the gore. And that's kind of one of the reasons you watch these movies. So not the only reason, but the gore in this is really, really good. But yeah, if you haven't seen it and you dig Argento's other movies, then check this one out because it's so Argento-y that it just like really, that it kind of hurts. And it's just super fun and super, and you will just sit there in disbelief like most of the time, like there's crazy shit that's going on in this movie. I promise. It's like, it's super fun. But yeah, so that will do it for this Flickers of Fear, and I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.